I want you to turn with me today to the book of Philippians in chapter 2 of Philippians, a great book in the Word of God, a letter to the church at Philippi. And I'm going to be talking with you today about the mystery of salvation. Over the last few weeks, we've been talking about the mystery of life, the mystery of death, the mystery of heaven, the mystery of hell, the mystery of the devil, the mystery of iniquity, the mystery of the Holy Spirit, the mystery of Christ. Today, the mystery of salvation. Beginning in verse number 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And notice the next verse there. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And our church is a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but came down into this old sin-sick world as a man, to live among men for the purpose of dying on a cross for my sin and your sin, that we might be forgiven, reconciled back to God, made a new person, fitted to live with God for eternity. Think about that now. That's awesome to think about. The mystery of salvation. The plan of salvation God had before he made the world, because he knew what man would do when he put man in the Garden of Eden. The Bible says in Genesis 1 and 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Think about the high position of man, created in the very likeness and the image of God Almighty, our Creator. Man was created as an innocent being. Man was innocent when he was placed in the Garden of Eden. He had no sin tendency or inclination. But man would make a choice. Adam and Eve would make a choice as to whether or not they would obey their Creator, the living God. Because God was going to test Adam and Eve. Genesis 2:15 through 18 speaks about that. And the Lord God took the man, and by the way, man, Adam, is the one responsible. God's holding Adam, the man, responsible. He's to be the ruler of this world, but first he's got to be tested to see if he will obey his Creator. So God took the man, put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Man had work to do before he sinned. Did you catch that? And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So God's going to test man. There's a lot of trees there in the Garden of Eden. But the tree in the midst of the garden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, they were prohibited from eating from that one tree. God told Adam this. Apparently, Adam told Eve this. But what would man do? God has forewarned us in His Word. Just like He forewarned Adam, God has forewarned you and I the danger of sin and its consequences. And yet you know there's things God said for you not to do, and you did it anyway. Yes, you've made a choice to disobey God, just like Adam. And so let's don't be too harsh on Adam, because we too have chose to disobey God in many ways. What would man do? God forewarn a man. No one is going to get by with any sin. Adam didn't get by, although he was the first man. Although he was made in the likeness and image of God, he didn't get by with his sin. And neither will we when we sin against holy God. And I believe that's one of the things that's greatly missing among the church folks today. People don't realize how holy God is and how sinful they are, or at least not willing to acknowledge their own sinfulness. So the Bible tells us man sinned in Genesis chapter 3 when the woman saw the tree, that it was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Genesis 3, verses 6 and 7. So apparently Adam told Eve about that tree. Satan comes along in the form of a serpent, and he begins to question God to Eve. And finally he persuades her to eat forbidden fruit. And when that happened, sin entered into them, and both of them died spiritually. And sin separated Adam and Eve from God, and they became sinners. And as a result, all their children would be just like them, sinners, down to you and me today. Every human is a sinner. God has said so. Every child is separated from God until they are reconciled to God by faith in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Yes, man is spiritually dead to God, and because he's a sinner, he's not allowed into the presence of God because of his sin. Now, the Bible tells us man dies. And to Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shall thou eat of it all the days of thy life. This is the consequences for sinning. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return, God says to Adam. Adam must face his sin now and its consequences. Life's going to be hard and difficult, a struggle. He's going to sweat and work, toil, all the days of his life till he goes back to the dust, God said. Why? He disobeyed his creator who said, don't you eat forbidden fruit or you'll die. So Adam has died, folks. He died right then when he ate forbidden fruit. He died spiritually. He became spiritually separated from God. He could no longer have fellowship with God. He could not go live with God. And God did something, folks. And we see the grace of God in what God is going to do. Even though Adam became a sinner and separated from God because of his sin, we see God take action because of his love for mankind. In Genesis 3:21, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin. Where do those coats of skin come from? Animals, probably little sheep. God had to kill the sheep to get their skins to make clothes to cover the naked bodies of Adam and Eve. Think about it. These little animals had not did wrong, but God killed them. They were innocent, and their skins was made clothes to cover the naked bodies of Adam and Eve. And it's a picture of the Lamb of God that would later come, who was innocent of any sin. But he laid his life down that we might have his righteousness to cover us who are unrighteous, that we might have the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ, folks. That's a picture of the salvation of the Lord for all mankind. And God said, behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. Now lest he put forth his hand, take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So God, knowing man now, he's a sinful creature, though God is going to save Adam and Eve because they took the clothes of skins and put them on their body. That shows an act of faith in receiving what God prepared for them. Just like but today, by faith, we receive Jesus Christ, who God has given for our salvation. It's just a picture of what God has did for us. So God, to keep Adam and Eve from going and eating from the tree of life as a sinner, although they have been saved, God drove them out of the garden. He does not and he did not want man to live in this world forever as a sinner. That's why our bodies die. But the promise is one day they're going to be resurrected, a glorified body without a sin nature, in which we will live in forever. All by the grace of God, because God loves mankind so much. And that is offered to every person that would come into the world. Salvation through God's Son, if by faith they would receive him. Why would a holy God want to save a race of sinners, as we see described in the Word of God? You look at our world today and mankind in general. Look at man, his wickedness, his evil. And by the way, look down honestly to your own heart and look at the rebellion and the stubbornness and the selfishness and the greed and the pride that you have deep down in your heart. And the Word of God says the heart is deceitful above all things, and who can know it? And God knows it. You and I are not hiding anything from God. We're not hiding anything from God. The Bible tells us about the love of God. Professing themselves to be wise, man has become fools in Romans 1, 22 through 32. How God, it talks about God has given man over to using himself in relationships that are unholy and blasphemous to God, folks. Read that section of Scripture in Romans 1, 22 through 32. It's a pitiful description of man's degeneration because he refused to be thankful and serve God who loves him so much. And God being the Holy One, yet he loves the sinful ones. And it makes no difference who people are, where they live at, how they have lived. God loves every single person because God is a God of love. He wants everybody saved, and he sent his only Son into this world to bear the sin of every person, and Christ has died for every person and paid the sin debt of every person. If they will accept his Son as their Savior, God will remember their sin no more. Isn't that awesome? Now that's the love of God, the mercy of God, and the grace of God towards sinners, folks. And man cannot blame God if he dies and goes to a devil's hell, because God has made a way for him to be saved and to live with God in an eternal paradise, if man will turn from his sin and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. So I want you to think about it today as you sit here in church. How is it with you? Have you really been saved? Have you really turned away from sin to Jesus Christ? Let me ask you something today. I want you to consider this honestly. What are you doing for Jesus Christ? What are you doing for Jesus Christ if you are a saved person? Think about it. And don't you forget it when you leave here today. What are you doing for Jesus Christ, who died on a cross to rescue your soul that was on its way to a devil's hell? He died and suffered like no other person to rescue you. What are you doing for him? How are you living in this godless world today? Are you representing him faithfully? Let's talk a little bit about the grace of God. In Romans 5:20, the Bible says, "But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." Oh, look at the sin. Oh, how ugly sin is to God. But grace did much more abound. God, because he's God, is able to deal with sin. And God is able to show mercy by his grace. Though we don't deserve the mercy of God, though we don't deserve anything from God, God wants to show mercy to us. And where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. God is determined to save man. Hallelujah. What a Savior. How we ought to praise God today and thank God today and worship God today, because God did not let sin have the last word, folks. God came to the rescue. Grace is the unmerited, undeserved act of God in forgiving man his sin. Think about that. Grace is the unmerited. We didn't deserve the grace of God. We don't merit the grace of God. Oh, I know we live in a world today. Everybody seems to think, I deserve this and I deserve that. Why would God do this to hurt somebody? Oh, listen. We didn't deserve the grace of mercy of God, folks. We're sinners. But where grace, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. God has made a way for us to be forgiven. You want to be forgiven of your sin? You can be forgiven. It's up to you. Boy, think about that one. If you want to be forgiven of your sin and go to heaven, it's up to you now. Because God's did everything he's going to do. He's let his son die on the cross for you. He's raised him from the dead, conquering death. He's broke Satan's power. You can be forgiven. It's up to you if you'll accept God's Son as your Savior. God has made provision for man's salvation, and he made it before the world began. Isn't that awesome to think about? Even before the world began, God made provision for man's salvation because God knew what man would do. God knew you'd be in church here today. Did you know that? God knew what kind of problems you got here today. What are you struggling with? What's bothering you? What's troubling you? God knows about it. You're in church today. Why don't you bring your burden to the Lord? Won't you just humble yourself and call on the Lord of mercy, because he wants to have mercy with you. He wants to show mercy to you. Oh, yeah. Sometimes he takes them burdens away. Sometimes he uses those burdens to get us closer to him. Yeah. He knows what he's doing in your life. Yeah. In John 1:29, the Bible says, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him. That's John the Baptist. And he saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. John the Baptist knew in Jesus Christ was the one God had ordained to take away the sin of the world. Boy, that's an awesome thought, isn't it? God in Jesus Christ has dealt with the sin of the whole world, because Jesus died and paid for the sin of every person who would ever live in this sin-sick world. And if people miss heaven, it's not God's fault. His Son has paid for their sin. But if they don't go to his Son and accept him as their Savior, then that's up to them. That's up to them. God's even given his word, so that men might know of the salvation of the Lord. And if people won't listen to the word of God, people refuse to listen to the word of God, then that's up to that individual person. Because the Bible tells us salvation is of the Lord. And faith comes by hearing the word of the Lord. Now, John says that Jesus is the Lamb of God, who will pay for the sins of all people. And the Apostle Paul says that Jesus died while we were still in our sins. Get that now. Jesus Christ didn't die when we were good little boys and girls, folks. Jesus Christ died because we were rebellers and sinners, going our own way, dead in our sins. And God says in his word, but God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, Romans 5:8. Think about that. God showed his love for every one of us while we were still sinners, while we were still rebelling, while we were still doing our own thing. God showed his love for us and sent Christ to die for us so we could be forgiven of our sin. The Apostle Paul also said that God chose or elected us for salvation before he made the world. Boy, this is a great verse of scripture that lots of folks just don't understand. In Ephesians 1:4, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. He's chosen us or elected us to salvation before he made the world. Think about you sitting here today. You were chosen, if you are saved, you were chosen or elected to salvation before God made the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. I don't understand that, someone might say. Well, here, let me tell you something. Some folks hold on to this Calvinistic philosophy and some to this Arminius philosophy. Great learned men and people hold to those two forms of belief. But let me tell you the correct form of belief. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now that's the Bible answer to salvation for anyone, anywhere, folks. That's the truth right there. That's all you need to know about salvation right there. John 3:16. God says in his word, if you'll accept my son as your savior, I'll accept you. And God knew before he made the world, would you accept his son as your savior or not? And so here you are today, sitting here in this church. Are you a born-again believer in Jesus Christ? Then you are chosen and elected to salvation because of your faith in Jesus Christ. And God knew about it before he made the world. Now, if you happen to be in church today and you've not been saved, and maybe you might go through life and never be saved, well, you're not chosen. You're not elected. Not because God didn't love you, no, but because you wouldn't accept his son. His son died for you, but you didn't want him to save you. You wanted to live the way you wanted to live. And that's the way it is, folks, whether you like it or not. God is not out randomly calling this one to be saved and that to be saved. No, God knew before he made the world if you would accept his son or not. Yeah. John 3:16 tells you all about it. That's all you need to know. You accept God's Son as your Savior, God has saved you. He'll bring you to heaven one day. You'll live with him forever one day. Why? Because you accepted his Son. And if you don't accept his Son, you won't ever see God's heaven. But you'll be cast into the lake of fire to spend eternity with the devil and all the wicked of all ages. Now, that's the truth, folks. That's the truth. Yeah, let me read that verse to you in Ephesians again. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. The only way to be saved is in Christ, folks. There's no salvation apart from Christ. And we get in Christ by faith, by believing in him as our personal Savior. So how is it with you today? Have you really turned from sin? Have you really seen your sin condemns you? And that you need to be saved? That you're a sinner and you're lost? You need salvation? Unless you have realized that and acknowledged that and trusted Christ, you still need to get saved, folks. Yeah. I don't care if you're a church member or not. You still need to get saved. Salvation is by faith. The Bible is very clear about that. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe he is, that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hebrews 11:6. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. If a person refuses to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ about the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus, who died for their sin, they can't be saved. You got to hear the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation unto them that believe, the Bible says. And so it's important. So people won't listen to the radio. They won't listen to the TV and the messages there by God's ministers. Or they won't go to a Bible church. Or they won't read spiritual material in the Bible to learn about the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he died for their sin. Then they won't be saved. They can't be saved. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Well, the Bible says in John 6:47, verily, verily, Jesus said, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. He that believeth on Jesus is their Savior. Not he that joined the church. Not he that was baptized. Not he that had religion. No. He that believeth on the Lord Jesus Christ has everlasting life. Will live forever. And will live in an eternal paradise, folks. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's talk about something else that's important. The blood of Jesus Christ. Remember that old church hymn, there's power in the blood? Isn't it a shame that some churches are taking the songs with the blood out of the hymn books? Yeah, some are doing that. That's a pity. You know, without the blood, you can't be saved. Think about it. You can't be saved without the blood of Jesus Christ, folks. In Matthew 26:28, when Jesus was instituting communion, or the Lord's Supper, as we know it, for this is the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. Jesus gave his disciples in the upper room before he was to be crucified this little example of how to remember him. He said the bread was a token of his body that would be broken for them, and to remember him. And the fruit of the vine would represent his blood that was shed on the cross for them to remember him by. Yes. And so ever so often in our churches we have communion to remind us of the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And these is what is symbolized in these ordinances of the church. In the book of Acts, chapter 20:28, therefore take heed unto yourselves, to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed, talking to the ministers, to feed the church of God which he has purchased with his own blood. The church, made up of individual believers, we are purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. If you're saved, you're blood bought and blood washed, so we would be fitted to live in the presence of a thrice holy God, folks. And the church of Jesus Christ, made up of born-again believers, is blood washed and blood bought. In Ephesians 1:7, the scripture says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Think about this. We have redemption. We have salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ, through nothing less It took the death and the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ for our salvation. We're a blood-bought people, folks. God's Son had to die to pay for our salvation. Because the wages of sin is death, we sin, but He died in our place. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We ought to praise God. We ought to be committed to the Lord, to love Him and serve Him because of what He's did for us. We ought to be devoted completely to the Lord. In Ephesians 2 and 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. He's talking about the Gentiles once was far off. But now we're made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. And now, makes no difference where you're a Jew or Gentile. Makes no difference what nationality or ethnic group you're from. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be a member of the body of Christ, which will be the bride of Christ one day when we get to heaven after the rapture of the church. Boy, that's going to be something, ain't it? The bride of Christ is the New Testament church made up of born-again believers, of people of all nations of the world, folks. Hallelujah. That's the grace of God and the love of God and giving Christ a people for eternity. Colossians 1:14 says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. In 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as He's in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. And John goes on and says, if we confess our sins as a believer in Jesus Christ, you know, believers can wander away from the Lord. Believers can disobey the Lord too. But John says if we'll confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise the Lord. That's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin in every day of our lives. Lord, ask the Lord to cleanse us. Keep us clean. Keep us walking holy before the Lord, in love with the Lord and serving the Lord and being a witness of our great God and Savior. Let me share another thought here. God removes all sin when He saves us. In Psalms 103:12, and I'd encourage you to open up your Bible to Psalm 103:12 and make sure this verse is highly marked. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Think about how far away your sin's been removed when Jesus died and we accepted Him as our Savior. Our sins are as far as the east is from the west. Endless, folks. In Isaiah, the prophet wrote God's word in 43:25, I am He that blotteth out thy transgression for my own sake and will not remember thy sin. God says, I'm getting rid of all your sin for my sake. He didn't say for our sake. He said for God's own sake. You know why God said for His sake? So we could live with Him. We couldn't live with Him with sin. So He had to get rid of our sin because He wants us to live with Him. Amen? That's how much God wants you to live with Him. He got rid of our sin through Jesus Christ when we accept Him as our Savior. Isaiah also wrote in 44:22, God says there, I blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgression and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me. For I have redeemed thee. If we might wander away from the Lord, we need to, stop and realize, listen, I'm not living like I should. I'm not committed like I ought to be. I need to come back to the Lord. And the Lord says, return to me. Because I bought you. You belong to me. You belong to me. You're mine. I want you to love me. I want you to enjoy me. Even now in this life, I want you to enjoy me, God says in his word. Yeah. And I close with this thought today. Did you know you are barely saved? You're actually scarcely saved according to the word of God. 1 Peter 4:18 says, if the righteous, that is the saved, scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? You are barely or scarcely saved. I don't care who you are. You might think you are a spiritual somebody, but you are scarcely saved. And you're no more saved than anybody else. Everybody's saved just alike, and everybody is just as saved as anybody else if they're saved. Yeah, that's true. Now, some people are more spiritual than others, but that don't make you more saved. Yeah. But we are barely saved, folks, and it's only by the grace of God who shed the blood of Jesus Christ so we could be saved. Yeah. Without the love of God and the grace of God and the blood of Jesus Christ, we would not have salvation. Let's face it, folks. Our salvation is all because of God's grace, mercy, and love towards us who are sinful people. And God chose to save us through his Son. And there's salvation through no other means than through Jesus Christ. There's none other Savior. Yeah. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So by faith we can believe in Jesus as our Savior. So what about you? And you here in church today, have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you loving the Lord Jesus Christ for what he did for you? Are you committed to the Lord Jesus Christ to love him and uphold his name and be a witness of his mercy and grace upon you? I challenge you. Know God, have mercy upon us. Look upon us with mercy today, O God. Stir our hearts, O God. Draw us completely to you. Cleanse us from our sin. And should there be someone in our service today that needs the salvation of the Lord, speak to that heart, deal with that heart, draw them to confess the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. And amen. And may God bless you today. What about you today, my listener? What about you today? Are you right with the Lord? Come, let's come to the altar here today. Bow down, pray for somebody. Come bring your own problems to the Lord. Come yourself if you need the Lord. And he'll cleanse your heart and make you one of his own.